Right, next Sunday, I'm leaving for camp on Saturday with the staff, and then next Sunday, Todd Reimer is going to speak to us and read and lead us in worship and all that next week, right? Yes. Next week, so we look forward to that. And then the week after, we're going to spend part of that Sunday morning sharing what camp was like. Because it's right at the end, so we're going to spend some time sharing together, and then I'll have a short devotional after that, so that'll be great. Okay, let's, now, what's going on here? So Cody will lead us in singing afterwards, because the way I'm going with the message, I think it's going to make more sense for us to actually sing at the end of the service of our gathering than it would be at the beginning, and you'll see why. So, all right, let's pray, and then we'll get right into it. God, thank you that we can be together. Thank you that we can gather here. Thank you for the good food that we can enjoy this morning. Thank you for Brittany and Jordan for making it, putting it together. Thank you. We take for granted the food that we have each Sunday morning here, the snack. And thank you for that great thing. Father, thank you for those that are online, that are listening. I pray that you would encourage them and speak to them as they watch and listen and participate. So thank you, Father. Speak to us in your word. We want to hear from you. We want to be encouraged. Bless your time here. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. I asked the leadership team this last week when we met, what is your favorite worship song? What is a song in the last while that has just really come to your mind and your heart? What's a meaningful hymn that you often remember and reflect on? A song, a chorus of good encouragement. What's a song that means something to you? Take some time right around your table and share that a little bit. All right? Take some time right around your table and share about that. And any of you online, I want you to phone me right now, if you can, 204-209-0525. Phone me and I will answer it. And you can talk to me about your favorite song. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
people here tried to call and went straight to voicemail, so I'm going to have to fix that. So if you called me online, I'm sorry. I'll figure out my phone. Technology, you got to love it. But okay, so thank you for trying. All right. One of my favorite songs is a short little chorus called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Can we sing that together? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Earlier in the week, as I do each time I prepare for a message for us, I pray, Jesus, what do you want to say to this group of people? Young and old and those in between, your church. I pondered with my feet up, coffee in hand, quiet instrumental music in the background, eyes closed, listening and asking Jesus, what do you want to say? What do they need to hear from you? What is the state of our souls? This past Monday, I was with my mentor having breakfast in McDonald's in Steinbach, and then we golfed 9 holes at Jerusalem Golf Course. No, we didn't keep score, so I have no idea what I shot. I'm sure I got a par somewhere along the line. At breakfast, we talked about a lot of things. Ministry, pastoral work, preaching, teaching, and in the midst of it, we talked about the word soul. The word soul, we're remembering in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, where God breathed into Adam, breathed into the man, and he became a living soul. God's breath breathed, you can imagine, the breath of God breathed into, through the nostrils, it says, into the body, into the soul. That's incredible. The breath of God. My mentor encouraged me to speak to the souls of people. How are souls are doing this morning? How is your soul feeling this morning? What were you feeling when you got up this morning? This morning when I got up, I was feeling just a little bit off. Not bad, not sick. I just was feeling just a little bit off. Don't know what it was, but that's what I was feeling when I got up this morning. How are you feeling now? I got some good news and bad news. Which do you want first?
Bad news first.
Okay, bad news first. We're halfway through summer. Okay. You want to know the good news? We're only halfway through summer. There's still so much, as we've talked about, so much to experience this summer in nature, and in all over, camping, walking, being with family and friends. There's so much to experience this summer yet. It's not over yet. So as I ask Jesus, what do you want to say to him? Say to us. I love you. That's what he wants to say. I love you. I just love you. Come find rest for your souls in me, he says. Summer's great for that. And then the words came to my mind as I was thinking about that. Make music to the Lord in your hearts. Make music to the Lord in your hearts. Each of us, every week, can go through a time or a moment of overwhelm, maybe even panic. And sometimes we may have a blah time of not feeling like doing anything. We're totally unmotivated. This could be another form of overwhelm when we just kind of shut down. How do we get through these times rather than just pulling up your bootstraps? When we're going through a moment when I can't do it, whether it's at work, whether it's with our family, we're having a disagreement with our spouse or with a child or with a parent or whatever it is, and we get to that point where we're overwhelmed. A task is before us. Something happens. We don't know what to do. And just pulling out bootstraps is not going to get you there. It just doesn't work. How do you do that? There's two passages that I want us to look at this morning that's going to help us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. And I love this. Now, at the beginning of chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. And then he goes through a bunch of commands and instructions and things. But then he goes to verse 15. Or we're going to go to verse 15. So, he's relating to what happened before. So, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Redeem the time is another version that says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil times. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and make music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given a really good, easy way of overcoming overwhelm, of actually how to live our life forward. And he's saying, just make the most of every opportunity in these evil times. These are evil times. Don't act thoughtlessly, like think through it. Sometimes we just have to stand up a little bit and think and understand what the Lord wants you to do. A while ago, we have heard more than enough sermons in our life. Anybody agree? We can. We have heard more than enough sermons in our life. We have read more Christian, am I coming through there? We have read more books, we have heard more podcasts, we have read the Bible, we have done all kinds of things. I'll say this carefully, we actually don't need to learn more, we already know what we need to do. Am I right? Okay, so we're done. No, I'm kidding. We already know. So he says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. We already know what we can do. But sometimes it's just hard to do that. Right? It's just hard to do that. So go with me. We're going to come back to Ephesians. Go with me to Psalm 46. And this is a good psalm to read when you're in overwhelm, when you're not sure what to do, when you're in a place where I don't know what to do and what I'm going through now, right now, is more than I can handle. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when the earthquakes come, And when the mountains crumble into the sea, let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Now stop right there. Don't read ahead. Why? Because it says interlude. In most versions, it says interlude. Does it say that in your Bible? That means pause. So just stop and pause. Pause. Just wait. It's almost like he's saying, go back and read it again. Our God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble, so we will not fear when the earthquakes come. Could be real. It could be other kinds of earthquakes in our lives, in our world. We will not fear when earthquakes come, and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Let it happen. It's going to happen. God is our refuge. He says, pause. Pause. Reflect on God. After you take a breath, or two, or three, or four, then he goes on and says, a river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. I'm going to come to that bit. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos, and their kingdoms crumble. Are we seeing that in this world? Nations in chaos and kingdoms crumbling. God's voice thunders and the earth melts, and the Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Go back up to verse 4. A river of joy to the city, a river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. Do you know what sacred home means there? You've heard me use it many times over the last number of months. Starts with a T. Close. Before the temple? Tabernacle. That's what it actually means. I'm going, whoa. The dwelling place. A place that can move, which is what the tabernacle. And as I'm reading through that, and then I'm thinking back to what we learned on tabernacle, is going, oh, the river of joy comes to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. It comes to us as individuals and as a church. The tabernacle, we are like a tabernacle. God dwells in that city. It can't be destroyed. As a personal tabernacle of God, you cannot be destroyed if God is in you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you won't be destroyed. Our church won't be destroyed. There's lots of churches that are having troubles and being persecuted, but they will not be destroyed. The church will not be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. Everything in the world is a mess. The Lord of Heaven's armies is here among us. We know by theory that God is with us. He promised to never leave us or forsake us. The problem is, well, we're human. But the problem is when we're in the midst of our overwhelm, when we're in the midst of the struggle, when we're in the midst of the problem, and whatever is causing the stress in our life, somehow we forget that God is right with us. He's beside us and he's in us. We just seem to forget. And then we sometimes say, where is God? And God goes, I'm right here. But I don't see him. I'm right here. I don't feel God. I'm right here inside of you. I've never left you nor forsaken you. And what he's saying is that we need to stop and pause and go, okay, you're with me. One of the things I'm going to teach at Teens Camp is called START. What to do when you're overwhelmed. It's called START. Stop. It's not in my notes. You're getting it free. Stop. Take a breath. Okay, so if you're in a panicking moment, you need to stop. Take a breath. And then A is appreciate Jesus. Oh, Jesus is right here. Thank you, Jesus. You're right here with me. We need that reminder that he's right with us. So stop, take a breath, appreciate Jesus, and respond in love. Stop, take a breath, appreciate Jesus, respond in love. And then we're doing what it says here, the pause, the interlude. Oh. Go to verse 8. The psalmist says, come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. Don't pause there. This is where I was talking to Judy the other day on the point while we talked lost. But I was talking to her about this verse. Unfortunately, what happens when we have verses, it kind of puts a line in it and it's not intended. It says, come see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the Lord. He causes. So he's not just bringing destruction. He brings destruction to cause the end to the end, to cause wars to end. Every war has been ended. And every war that's going on right now will end. He brings an end to the wars. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear and burns the shields with fire. He brings every war to cease. He's that powerful. Then verse 10, the verse that we've probably memorized. Be still. Be still and know that I'm God. Actually, it's not that quiet. Do you see the punctuation at the end of that line? What is it? Exclamation point. So what he's saying, he's saying, I'm going to end the wars. Now he says, be still. And know, just know it, that I am God. I won't yell it any longer, but that's what he's trying to say. Be still. Know that I am God. Whatever's going on in the world, whatever's going on in your world, in your heart, be still. Come on, be still. I've got it. Now, we go back to Ephesians 5. Make the most, verse 16, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Okay, so we're in evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, think. She's saying, just think. Think about what's going on. But understand what the Lord wants to do. He wants us to pause. He wants us to reflect. He wants us to believe in him and trust him. And then he says, which is weird that he put it in here, but I think I know what he's trying to say. Don't be drunk with wine because it will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why does he say that? Now, a lot of people have used this as an abstinence verse. Well, the Bible says don't be drunk with wine. Well, that's true. The Bible does teach against drunkenness. But why does he bring it here? Do you remember what happened during our pandemic to a lot of people that were panicking and worried and fearful? And they had very reason to be fearful in many ways because of the death and destruction that was going on around the world. People were dying left, right, and center. But what were people doing during that time? What rates went up a lot in the world?
Depression, suicide,
but what else? What other habits?
Alcoholism
went through the roof. Opioid and drug use went through the roof. Why? If you've ever drank alcohol, and if you've ever been drunk, most people, what they do is they use those to settle the worry, the fear, the pain, whatever it is. No alcoholic ever starts off saying, I'm going to be an alcoholic. Most people start drinking and taking drugs just to deal with some of the pain that's in their life, their fear. And he's saying, you don't, that's what he's, I think he's saying here in this verse, other than don't be drunk, which is scripture teaches that. He says, you don't have to go to those things. You don't have to do all those things to calm your anxiety, to calm your fear. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. How? Comma. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music in your hearts. That's how we do it. That's why we get together and we sing. That's where we're going to sing afterwards, so it's a good application to this message. So, I was having a conversation with your sister, Lorna, and her husband. No, not Lauren. Doris and Lauren. That's who we got. Okay? At the Heritage Center this morning. And so they coordinate and help with the seniors that live in that complex. And so we're having a neat conversation, and she brought up, because I was leading singing and Donna was playing piano, and worked really well, even though it was kind of high, but we made it through. You know that, Colin. And so she was talking to me. She goes, and I have permission, I asked her permission to share this, her name and everything. And she says, it's interesting how when you look at these people, they know the words to the songs that you sang. What a friend we have in Jesus. Come thou fount, blessed assurance is what we sang this morning. And as I was leading it, and they were singing along. She shared the story of how she was with somebody a while ago that had dementia. And Lauren and Doris had gone to visit this person and some sort of relative. Too much detail. Just stick with the story. Okay. And so this woman wouldn't have known who was there, couldn't comprehend. But they said, well, let's sing together. And so she started to lead the song. I believe it was What a Friend We Have in Jesus. That woman, though she had dementia, knew every word. And she said, even though we stumbled, she just kept right on singing, didn't miss a word. And as I looked at the people that were gathered there, They were singing, their lips were moving. They may not have gotten the notes, but the words. Doris said, we even sang, Jesus loves me, this I know. They didn't miss a beat, just sang every word. In dementia? Yes. Because she says what happens is music has a way of getting to the heart. So this is the thing. And I will, till my dying day, I will preach and teach the Word of God, and you will have it in your head, and hopefully most of it will move to your heart. That's the plan for the Word of God. But Doris said, what happens with music, and that's why the Apostle Paul is saying, make music. Music misses the head and goes straight to the heart. In my application, in a little bit, I'm going to say, whether you sing or not, you've got to find a song or two that is easy access on your phone somewhere. Even if you don't sing, you've got to have a song that will just help you. That's why we make music. That's why we sing together as a church, to encourage each other in the midst of troubles in this world. Jesus did say, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. We sing to encourage each other, to strengthen each other, to uplift each other. It's interesting, the other day I heard this, just this one sentence. When we worship God, we don't sing at God. We sing to Him. When we worship God, we don't sing at God. We sing to Him. Do you see just a subtle difference? Wow. How do we overcome overwhelm? Because we don't like to be in that place of overwhelm. And sometimes the bootstraps just don't work. Then we invite the Holy Spirit to come and meet us. We listen to a couple of good worship songs. Sing or not sing. But then music can encourage us. So application and reflection, then Cody's going to come and lead us in singing. Number one, put music into your life, even a little bit. Even a little bit. Here's one that'll be fun. Get alone a couple of times a week and sing by yourself. I know some people don't like to sing because they don't think they have a good voice. That may be true. I'm not going to judge it. And that's why you maybe don't sing. But I encourage you, find a song on your phone, on a tape, on a record, something like that. By yourself and sing. I love it how Jesus says, or God's word says, make a joyful noise. That includes a bad singer. Okay? You can make a joyful noise. So I encourage you the courage to actually sing by yourself. Read Ephesians 5:46, what I just read this morning. And then be still. And I've talked about the Pause app. That might be a good, helpful thing. It's called the Pause. It's free. The Pause by John Eldridge. It'll help you through every day going to pause. All right? Cody, come. Lead us in some good singing together as we go.